This podcast is presented by All Copy Products, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Learn more at allcopyproducts.com.
To the 15 to the 10, Murray's going to score, touchdown!
Welcome to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker. Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield. Connor to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone for the touchdown!
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by Arizona Cardinals Podcast. Visit azcardinals.com/podcast.
Here we go.
One-handed catch and a touchdown.
Oh, baby. How's that feel?
Here's Craig Grealoux, Danny Sarek, and nine-year NFL veteran Rob Fredrickson.
We begin with two words. And Rob, when I say these two words, I want your unfiltered opinion. Off-season program. As a former player, myself, Danny, did not have the experience of being an NFL veteran like yourself. This is the time when a lot of players believe the work begins. There's also several players that believe, you know what? It's voluntary, and I know it's voluntary. I'll see you when I need to be here. But I'll say this. The Arizona Cardinals in 2024, that parking lot is full. There are a lot of players here on Monday. And still here on Tuesday.
Yeah, first of all, there's very few players where voluntary means voluntary. For most of the guys, it's volandatory. You know, it's voluntary and mandatory combined. You know, and I would even go so far as to say most of the guys have been here since probably a week or two after the season ended, and they've been working out in the facility. So. You know, and that really speaks to the culture that Jonathan Gannon has started here and created here, and the players have embraced it. So off season, it really doesn't apply. Again, it's a year round thing, and it's just you're not playing games, but it's you're in it, and if you're not, other guys are, and they're gonna pass you by.
Once upon a time, the off season, maybe even training camp, used to get ready for the regular season. Now the expectation, Rob, is for you to be ready now and not wait until those 4 or 5 weeks of training camp. Those teams want you ready day one.
Yeah, the days when training camp was 2 months long, those were the days where guys had two jobs because they were playing professional football and it wasn't paying them enough money. So they had to have an off-season job. So they needed a couple months in training camp to get in shape. But, you know, these are the best athletes in the world. They're never out of shape. Probably the worst shape they're ever in is in season. So, you know, this is just the way it is in today's NFL, and these guys are ready. And just because yesterday is the official start of the quote unquote off season program, it's been going on since the last whistle from last season.
And walking through the hallways here, Danny, at the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center, we've seen that. At the end of the regular season, when players can scatter, there was a good number of players that work here, have been here, continued to be here.
Yeah, and again, I think that goes back to Rob's point of the culture that's been set here. And while we're not in the workouts, the media is not watching those, so we don't have an exact head count. You can see from even the Cardinals' social media on arrival photos, the big name that's here is quarterback Kyler Murray, which is huge. One, he's healthy enough to be here and go through a full offseason program, which he was not last year. He was still rehabbing that knee. Even prior, we didn't see Kyler Murray at all of these voluntary workouts. He was working out off campus. So to see your franchise quarterback here, and again, to your point, Craig, Kyler, it didn't just show up this week. He's been here. We have seen him around the facility throughout the offseason leading up until the phase one, these workouts beginning. I think that says a lot. And I think you have to give credit where it's due of you can physically see the changes of the leadership of your quarterback and being here and leading by example.
If your quarterback, if your number one player is your number one leader, then everyone else follows the leader because you want your quarterback to set that example.
Yeah, if your quarterback is here all off season, what's that say to the backup long snapper or whatever? You know, he's definitely going to be here, right? If the quarterback's your leader, number one, he's always your leader on your team, whether he wants to or whether he's dragged into it or willing. And Kyler's really come a long way in that regard, I think, especially this past season. But if he's here and he's doing everything and more than everything that's asked, everyone else is going to fall in line.
Again, it is volunteer, but the off-season strength and conditioning program, day one, Monday. Jonathan Gannon meeting the media about his first impression having the players back in the building.
First day off-season program, so a lot of juice in there, a lot of energy, some new faces, and excited to get to work with these guys. 8-week program, and excited about the improvements that we've made in the off-season to help the players out.
And going into year two, Danny, the familiarity that a lot of the players have from the coaches, the expectation, and those new players that JG mentioned, they can ask, not the coaches, they can ask their teammates what the expectation, what the standard is here with the Cardinals.
When tight end Trey McBride spoke with the media Monday, he said it felt like the first day of school, but his second time at the school, because now he knows all the teachers, so he has the confidence. And Gannon talked about that as well, of the players are leading by example because now they have an idea of what's expected of them. What I liked hearing from Gannon when asked about the changes from year one to year two that he's implementing in his offseason programs is that he went to the players. Gannon said, if you have a question and you want to know something, you go to the players. So while he didn't get into the details about what those changes are, I like that he is going to his players to figure out what do they like, what do they want to work on, so that everybody is really getting the most of phase one of this offseason program.
On that topic, here's more from JG on defining culture and developing culture in that locker room.
We got a bunch of guys that are team first guys in there that are competitive and want to improve their games. That's what the culture is. I think, you know, you have to work on that daily because your actions go into culture on a daily basis. So we all got to be aligned and we got to be on it. And when we get out of alignment, that's okay. You got to get back in alignment quick. So that's what wins, and our guys understand that, and I'm happy where it's at day one.
If year one was laying the foundation, then year two is building upon that foundation. I do think, Rob, it began middle of the season because we did hear Kaiser White on Monday say, yeah, we kind of took things over middle of the season, late season, where, yeah, the coaches were around, but it was the players policing themselves, making sure that they were doing what was necessary in order to get ready for Sunday and hopefully get a win on Sunday. So, yeah. The foundation has been set. Now it's figuring out the pieces to put into place to get this team from 4 wins to 8 to 12 to get that playoff push, an extensive playoff push.
And I think any time there's a new coaching change, a new regime coming in, that coaching staff, that head coach is always going to set the bar. He's always going to establish what the quote-unquote culture is going to be or how he perceives it. And whether or not, especially initially, he's going to be tasked with following through on that and making sure that things are done the way he wants and holding people accountable. Ultimately, what you want to have happen and what you kind of start seeing with the Cardinals is that the players take over that role and they start policing themselves. They start holding each other accountable. They start holding themselves accountable. That's really all that culture is. It's players. It's number one, it starts with the players and them holding themselves accountable and do your job and holding each other accountable. And when you have that, you don't have to have the head coach, you know, cracking the whip. You don't have to have the head coach being a heavy hand, because that you know, these are grown men, and that wears thin if you have a head coach that is constantly having to do that because the players won't hold each other accountable. And that's the situation that you don't want. You want the team, you want the guys inside the locker room to really be policing themselves.
So what's allowed here in this first phase of the offseason program? Well, a lot of weight room work, a lot of on-field conditioning work. Players can meet with coaches, just nothing on the football field. And speaking of Kyler Murray, here is JG on what he's seen from K1 in year two in this offense.
Him being healthy, one, is a huge step forward. He feels really good where he's at right now. And then just taking ownership and command and going into year two and really keep being who he is, you know what I mean? And I think that he'll continue to do that. But definitely with him being healthy, year two in a system, he's excited. So are we.
JG also mentioned, Danny, that Kyler's engaged. He's asking questions in those meeting rooms. Drew Petzing needs to be on his toes, in the words of Gannon, because questions are being asked, so you better have an answer, or at least, okay, let me get back to you on that, because the quarterback in that quarterback room wants to know, all right, what do we need to do to be successful once the season begins?
That's what you want out of your quarterback. We know how competitive Kyler is. I would imagine now that he has the first full offseason with this coaching staff, he's going to have a ton of questions now that he has the 8 games of experience he has with Petzing and the rest of this staff. Last offseason, Kyler was only able to absorb so much when he was rehabbing or when he's just watching from the sideline or he's in the meeting room, but he's not physically going through the reps because he wasn't healthy enough. To then have to come in and make those adjustments and learn things on the fly and figure out what they are asking for you, how does that work with your game? That's very different when you're trying to learn in the meeting room than when you're out on the field. And Kyler had to do that while he was in the middle of the season. So now that he has this experience, I would imagine he has a lot more questions of what he wants to ask and what he wants to get out of this offseason and into year two with the staff.
Questions that might have popped up during the season at some point, but you really don't have the time to go through some of that because, you know it, Rob, once the season begins, there's a strict schedule and you have so much time to get ready for that week. Okay, let's push that off to the off season, and now without the need to rehab a knee or any other body part outside of just the normal wear and tear, all right, Kyler, let's sit down and discuss, all right, this is what happened in week 12, second quarter. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do here. Let's revisit that situation so we're ready for it this year.
Yeah, and I think Danny brings up a great point. You know, watching other guys do the work and do the plays is different than actually doing it. And there's such a difference. It's like being in grade school and watching your teacher write up on the board a math problem and okay, cool, I got it. Well, no, you don't have it. That's why you practice. That's why you have homework. That's why you need to do those math problems. And by the way, I hear Paul Calvisi is doing some math problems right now.
That's true.
But, it's so important for Kyler to have the full off season and to be healthy and to be able to experience all of it when they have the drills, when they're doing things out on the field. It's so vital for him to be able to go through it, even though he did have a taste of it last year for half the season. And that was important, but to really have the entire off season and to be able to go through it and go through it on the grease board, go through it in the film room, but also take that out onto the practice field and actually do the physical reps. There's nothing better than that.
By the way, how were you in math?
C-minus, probably. C-minus? Yeah, no. I'm kind of average, slightly below average guy.
Numbers, Danny? No?
Oof, not my thing. That's why I majored in journalism, Craig. Least amount of math possible.
I don't know. I enjoyed the numbers.
Did you?
Yeah, I guess I'm the exception. I enjoyed math.
Nerd.
There you go. Sorry.
It's all right.
We'll see what Paul learned during his experience here this afternoon over at State Farm Stadium. By the way, speaking of Paul Calvisi, he's not here with us this Tuesday, but come meet Paul next Thursday, April 25th, the Arizona Cardinals draft party on the Great Lawn at State Farm Stadium. Gates open at 4 p.m. You got live NFL draft coverage, interactive games, and appearances by Cardinals players, cheerleaders, Big Red, and of course, Paul Calvisi. There'll be fireworks at the conclusion of the event. For more information to secure your free tickets, go to azcardinals.com/draft party. That's azcardinals.com/draft party. We continue here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Kaiser White just set the tempo for everybody out on this field right now between the white lines. What are you going to do about it?
A message has been sent.
What is that message, David?
That message is, we will fight you. And Kaiser White's a thumper.
He has been all over the field, and he is a physical guy as well.
Kaiser White, boy, turned on the jets to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, Kaiser White can run.
Flying in there at the end is Kaiser White.
The culture of physicality is what this is about.
He's a very physical player, and one of the reasons why The Cardinals wanted to bring him over when Jonathan Gannon got the job. What a big play by Kaiser White.
Kaiser White getting off an awful lot of blocks right now and making tackles.
Hit and sacked by Kaiser White.
Kaiser White, manhunter. Track and bag, Kaiser White.
He set the tone week one against the Washington Commanders. Kaiser White, a great offseason addition. As you heard Dave Pasch, Ron Wolfley discuss it. Yes, Kaiser White coming over from Philadelphia, where Jonathan Gannon and Nick Rollins were both. So there was one player that came year one that knew exactly what the head coach and defensive coordinator knew or wanted. It was Kaiser White. As we say, welcome back. It is the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Craig Riolu, Danny Sarek, and Rob Fredrickson. Speaking of Kaiser White, he is in the building. And I wouldn't say 100%, Rob, after that bicep injury that he suffered against the Texans, but in a good mood despite having missed the last seven games, or I should say the last six games last season. Someone who does not want to leave the football field and was that quarterback of the defense a year ago.
Always hard to be put on injured reserve as a player. You never know. It, from team to team, everyone does it differently, but some places they don't want you anywhere near the team, the healthy team, the team that's practicing and playing. They want you as far away as possible because you're kind of a reminder of the player's mortality. But other teams, and I think the Cardinals fall into this camp, is they want him. They want Kaiser White around because he's such a leader and he can help the younger players and really do the things that he did last season when he was injured, as far as just kind of being around, being present. So, but that's not what you're right. That's not what he wanted to do. That's not what he wants. He doesn't want to be a coach yet. Okay. He's a great player, and as Wolf said in that intro, he's a thumper. And they sorely missed him the second part of the season.
Played every single defensive snap up until the injury, and even a couple of snaps after suffering the injury.
That's what's so crazy, is Kaiser said that at first he thought it was just a cramp. He was tackling with one arm, and he was trying to play through that. So don't ever say that football players are not tough, because that says a lot. And Rob, to your point, Kaiser was saying the same thing of he would have gone crazy had he not been able to be around the team and continue to work. And it says a lot that he is spent this whole time, this offseason up until this point, rehabbing out in California, said he didn't go on any vacation. He was just focused on getting back and getting healthy. While he's not 100%, he's still participating in phase one of this offseason program. So he's still out with the strength and conditioning staff. He's still getting those workouts in, and having him back is vital. We saw the drop-off, and that's not necessarily a knock on the depth in that room, more so just what Kaiser adds to this defense, not just his technique and what he can do physically, calling the defense, the leadership, holding everybody accountable. You could see that drop off when Kaiser went on IR last season. So it's very good news that he is on track to becoming healthy. He had a big smile when talking to the media Monday, so all good things.
You ever have a injury that you thought might have been a cramp or something, Rob, and then it turned out to be much worse, or okay, this is going to knock me out for a little while?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay.
I have a titanium plate in my neck right now.
But at the time, you didn't think that was just a cramp. I mean, guessing that was...
Both my arms were numb momentarily. I thought, no big deal, it was just a stinger. I'll shake it off. And I continued to play. And after the game, we got some tests done. And okay, maybe we better not play this game anymore.
Well, for Kaiser, it was a couple of plays realizing that he couldn't use his arm anymore. So he discussed exactly what was going through his mind when he did suffer that bicep injury against the Texans.
I feel like I was finding my groove, and then, you know, to get injured like that against the Texans, I think I don't even think I missed a snap, you know, up to that point. So yeah, it was definitely tough, but mentally I just tried to come in each and every day, you know, attack rehab and don't have, you know, any self-pity, just try to keep getting better and be there for my teammates, you know, wherever I can.
And here's how good Kaiser was a year ago, Rob. In 11 games, 90 tackles. That led the team, despite him missing the last six games.
And behind a patchwork defensive line as well. Imagine what he's going to do and be able to do with a fortified defensive line, brought in some key players in free agency, hopefully the draft as well. But just to allow him the freedom to roam sideline to sideline and not, you know, nothing against the defensive line we had last year is what we had, but it's a tough business playing a linebacker and having guys in your face all the time. You really need to focus on what you're doing, and if you can't get off those blocks and get to the ball carrier, it's hard to be successful. But to be able to do those kind of numbers, given the defensive line that we had last year, is really remarkable.
Also finished with the third most solo tackles, but the importance for Kaiser is just the knowledge of the defense, being the quarterback of the defense, making sure his 10 teammates are where they need to be before every snap of the football. And that's what this team lost. To your point, Danny, earlier when you mentioned how the drop-off was, you pull someone like that off the football field, and again, that's a huge hole that you have to fill. And it's not always easy, and dare I say, there's a starter. You're a starter for a reason. You're a backup for a reason. It's hard to fill that void.
Absolutely, especially when you do have a defensive line that is riddled with injuries and you're constantly having a different rotation and a different group of players out there, of making sure everybody is on the same page. It was pretty much every position group on defense was dealing with an injury bug at some point. So when you lose the leader of your defense, your quarterback of your defense, and Kaiser White, who was keeping everybody in check, you were going to see a drop-off. And with Josh Woods and with Chris Barnes, just didn't have that experience that Kaiser does in that role, and that was noticeable. So, again, the fact that he's healthy, he's on the right track, it seems like he is on pace to be ready to go, which is important.
It's one thing for us to talk about the value of Kaiser White. Here's Jonathan Gannon on what he means, talking about Kaiser to the defense.
One of our leaders, one of our high performers, runs the defense. So he's excited to be back with his teammates and working out and training with those guys, being in meetings, all that. The value added is you can't put a price tag on him.
And it's good to have Kaiser White healthy, or at least on the back end of that rehab, should be good to go once training camp begins. It's going to be hard to keep Kaiser off the field. I'm sure he'd be wanting to participate more than he is even right now, but it's better to be safe than sorry. Make sure he's healthy 100% come week one. Now, in that inside linebacker room, the Cardinals did re-sign Chris Barnes. They did add Mac Wilson in free agency, and that's going to be an intriguing pair. Mac and Kaiser. Speaking of Mac Wilson, here he is during his introductory press conference on playing with Kaiser White.
Kaiser White, he's a dog. I watched him, last year before he had this little injury or whatnot. Kind of remind me of myself, downhill, thumper, can do it all. And, you put me with a guy like that, it's, you tell me. I don't know, we're going to see.
It's going to be fascinating to see how they use
those two. I love the humility.
You got to be confident in your ability.
That's great. No, I joke, but I love it. It's you have to be confident, and I love what he said. Just it reminds me of me. It's perfect.
How do you figure to have those two on the field at the same time? The ability to maybe interchange, do some things similar, do some things differently, especially with Mac's ability we saw late last season with the Patriots, being able to rush the quarterback, something that Kaiser wasn't really asked to do a lot of.
That's the interesting thing, is his ability to come off the edge. Obviously something that's important in this league and something the Cardinals really struggled at last year. So that's going to be an area of emphasis, I think, in the draft. But also having Mac Wilson and having that ability to do that and do it well, that's good. It's going to afford the Cardinals defensively to do some different things and create some different personnel packages, which, I'm excited to see.
It's two inside linebackers, though I think Mac views himself maybe a little bit more of a well-rounded linebacker, maybe even Kaiser a little bit to a certain extent as well.
When I got a chance to talk to Mac when he signed here with the Cardinals in free agency a couple of weeks ago and did an interview with him in the studio, and he just said, I'm just a football player, because he plays all over, and he has experience on offense. He has experience on special teams. So he just said, you could just call me a football player. That's what I am.
Well, he was a football player last season with the Patriots, played every single game, only had one start. And I do think the expectation, and you could hear it in his voice, that the expectation is that Cardinals brought him in here for a reason, and he is going to start. He is going to play a lot more than he did a year ago, and now it's on him to make the Cardinals that move mean something, and not just the 37 tackles and 3.5 sacks he had last year, but be a factor in this revamped defense. You talked about the defensive line additions. Now you got one at inside linebacker as well.
Yeah, but nothing's given, right? You know, he's not anointed and gonna. He may start the season started, but you know, you got to earn things around here, and so you go through the offseason program, you go through mini camps, go through training camp and preseason games, for me, you hear a player say this feels like the first day of school. Well, that's where you should feel. You should have that excited, nervous energy because. Your job is on the line, and you wanna do the best you can, and nothing is taken for granted, nothing's given, I'm not suggesting that Mack Wilson thinks that, but there's competition here, and that's part of the culture, and that's exciting to see.
And now is when the time for Nick Rawls to figure out, okay, how do we pair these two together on the field? A year ago, Mack played almost as many pass rush snaps as coverage snaps with the Patriots, and that dynamic to figure out the best way to fit those pieces together defensively.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they piece it together, but it's a welcome addition, I'll say that. Mack Wilson, having him and having the ability to be so versatile is something that is going to be really good for Nick Rawls.
1 week from Thursday, April 25th, the Arizona Cardinals draft party returns to the Great Lawn at State Farm Stadium. Gates open at 4 p.m. All the information, all the details to secure your free tickets, admission, parking, both free. azcardinals.com/draft party. That's azcardinals.com/draft party. When we continue, Trey McBride, year three with the Arizona Cardinals. This is the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Trey McBride has been one of the best receiving tight ends in football.
Trey McBride, grow strong, grasshopper.
Near side, it is underthrown. Oh, but it's caught at the 10-yard line by McBride. First Cardinal tight end in 34 years with a 100-yard receiving game.
Oh, my goodness, Trey McBride. Have a day, baby.
McBride fighting for the first down at the 2. He's still pushing the pile, and he pushes it into the end zone for the touchdown. Trey McBride, all muscle. Fires left in the end zone. It is caught by McBride, and it's a touchdown.
Big-time play by Trey McBride.
That was an elite catch. That was spectacular. What a beautiful grab by McBride. Nice catch by Trey McBride. McBride, with that catch, sets the Cardinals single-season record for most receptions by a tight end. His second NFL season has been phenomenal, and it continues.
No question, a breakout season for then a second-year tight end by the name of Trey McBride. As we say, welcome back. It is the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Craig Riolu, Danny Sarek, and Rob Fredrickson. We are with you Tuesdays year-round, 11 a.m. here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network. And we hear all those highlights, Danny, about McBride given an opportunity after the injury to Zach Ertz, and then the release of Ertz, and all of a sudden McBride said, all right, I'll be your number one playmaker, Kyler Murray. And all of a sudden, you had your number one receiver, regardless of running back, wide receiver, or tight end.
It seems like Trey McBride just needed a chance, needed to get those reps to get a feel and get some confidence in what he can and can't do. The fact that we saw the connection with McBride and Kyler skyrocket the way it did once Kyler returned gives me high hopes for the two of them being together in the offseason program right now, working together off campus on throws, just building that chemistry, that connection. McBride was saying there are still plays he thinks about, really that Atlanta game, which was Kyler's first game back on a pass where Trey continued the run and Kyler wanted him to sit and the pass was intercepted. Of McBride saying, I still think about those on things I want to work on. And McBride saying he watches film from his rookie season and he looks like a deer in headlights. I mean, Rob, you can see the confidence, not just now, but at the end of last season that he had in himself, because he was getting the reps and he was getting the opportunity and proving to himself that, okay, I belong out here. I know what I'm doing. I can handle this.
Yeah, 81 receptions in essentially 8 games. That's unreal. Those are Hall of Fame numbers. Now, if he can if he can replicate that from what he did, was able to do last season and going forward, which, you know, we fully expect. This, you know, that's a great tandem of Kyler and McBride. I look for that to continue to grow. He's such a good runner, number one, after he catches the ball. Great hands. I don't think it's a stretch to say top five tight end in this league right now, with basically half a season only under his belt. So he's that kind of generational talent, I think, at a tight end position, and something that this offense can be built around.
He put up numbers last season to where he was top five in receptions, top 10 in receiving yards among the tight ends. And we always hear, Rob, that the quarterback's best friend a lot of the times is the tight end, because wide receivers spread the field and that middle is wide open. And I think, depending on what happens a week from Thursday, you add another wide receiver to this offense, McBride's numbers might not be as high, but they might be more effective as far as receiving yards and maybe total touchdowns.
Especially this kind of offense, right, where it's run first, run heavy, play action coming off of that. So you'll have a lot of waggles, a lot of boot action from Kyler, and that really kind of lends itself to tight ends coming on drag routes across the field. And So that this offense is tailor-made for Trey McBride and for Kyler Murray.
Going into his third season, second season under Jonathan Gannon, Andrew Petzing, here is the head coach, JG, talking about his young tight end.
Sky's the limit, you know. Obviously had a really good year last year. He's got a really good improvement plan for himself moving forward. I think we're going to be able to help him with that. And just being consistent with what he's doing, with all the techniques, what he's asked, but he'll be a premier player for us. There's no doubt about that.
The final numbers for McBride last season, 81 catches, 825 receiving yards, 3 touchdowns. Yet for McBride, who discussed things with the media on Monday, it's not so much those numbers. He knows he has still a lot to work on.
I want to be a better run blocking tight end. I want to be an all-around guy. And there's a lot of plays that I left out there. You know, obviously I had a good year last year, but there's so much more on the table that I left out there. There's a lot of plays I could have made that I didn't make, or there's things that I need to get better at. So going back, watching the film, looking at the mistakes I made, how can I improve? How can I see defenses better? And ultimately, I'm just excited to have a full year with Kyler to build that chemistry.
You hear those comments, Danny, and it should excite you if you're a Cardinals fan, because all great athletes, it's the ones that they missed on. The wins, the losses, the catches, the incompletions. It's what they didn't accomplish as opposed to what they did accomplish.
The chip on your shoulder, what you want to improve on. McBride was saying growing up he had a coach that told him as a tight end, if you can excel in the run blocking game, you will get rewarded in the pass game. And so to hear him say that and understand how play action can benefit him, and if he can match up the routes of what he's doing and disguise that better, that he can be even a better target, a more reliable target for his quarterback. And I think just what we saw from him, and you're in what is a small glimpse, considering the fact that he was behind Zach Ertz for the start of the season and the quarterback carousel until Kyler came back, I feel like the sky really is the limit for McBride. There are question marks on the depth chart behind McBride moving forward, because Jeff Swaim was the main blocking tight end who got hurt late last year, is still a free agent. And as you go down the list, Elijah Higgins looked good in the 11 games he played. He had 163 receiving yards and a touchdown. I'm not sure that that's a true number two tight end as your reliable pass catcher or your blocker. And then below Higgins is Travis Vokolek and Blake Whitehart, who each were active for just 2 games, no stats. When you consider, Rob, how often this offense likes to be in 12 or 13 personnel, which was 32% of the time last year, 5th most in the league, I think there's still a sneaky need for a tight end, not to surpass McBride as a number one tight end, sure, but still a need that needs to be addressed.
Can always use more tight ends, and you're right, in this kind of offense, because they are in so many multiple tight end sets. Offensively, it's important, and obviously you'd like to have somebody there that is a stud blocking tight end, somebody that's going to really have that play side blocking responsibility and allow Trey to have maybe the backside clean up and get the play action down the field, which he's so good at. But, I get it. He wants to improve his blocking, but I'm okay with him not being a great blocker. I'm okay with him not even blocking, honestly, as long as he can put up numbers like he did in the second half of last season.
Just get open.
Yeah.
But the willingness to want to get better, because I think a lot of the blocking is just a want to, and some players want to, others don't want to because they want to get the ball. But if you have a player that's willing to say, all right, I'm going to sacrifice myself for this particular drive, this particular quarter, and then I'll benefit on the back end later on, I think that's what this offense, and we know that's what JG, that team-first mentality.
Yeah, and he's never going to be, think of a stud blocking tight end, Mark Bavaro or something. I'm really dating myself here, but he's never going to be that, but he's always going to be a top five receiving talent in terms of tight ends in this league, and he arguably could be a wide receiver one almost, Cardinals still need that position to be solidified, but Trey McBride is certainly a really generational talent, in my opinion.
By the way, Trey was asked about the Cardinals' need for a wide receiver and what would happen, his thoughts on if the Cardinals did decide to draft a wideout early next Thursday.
I have no idea what we're going to do in the draft. What the media says is not, necessarily always true. So it's going to be exciting. I trust in Monty. I trust in the guys up there. That's their job, is to get this team right, to draft the players that we need. And I trust in their decision fully. And I'm super excited for the talent that they're going to bring in.
There's no question. If you have a wide receiver, maybe one of the top three that's everyone believes is going to be drafted in the top 10, and the Cardinals stick and pick. You have Michael Wilson on one side. You have Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, or Roma Dunze on the other. If you're Trey McBride, you're like, okay, that opens up everything else for me.
Absolutely. You love that. If you're Trey McBride, you love to have some talent on the outsides to take some attention from those safeties and free yourself up to one-on-one coverage. So, Trey McBride is tough for a linebacker to cover, for a safety to cover. So he's almost at the point in his ascension where he's going to draw some double teams at times. And I can think of very few tight ends that happens, but Trey McBride is quickly kind of escalating into that position. And so to have the talent on the outsides to take that away, to take that attention away, is vital.
Targeted 106 times, 81 catches. We lose the sight sometimes on just how well he catches the ball first, because you have to catch it before he can start to run. And just a number of those one-handed grabs, sideline catches, making sure both feet were inbound. That I think sometimes we lose sight of, but that's what Trey has done since day one.
And McBride is hard to bring down. That's another, I think, underrated part of his game, is he is not tackled on that first contact. So once he gets the ball, it is almost guaranteed he's getting you a good amount of extra yards after the catch. And that's important, too. I like the fact that, McBride is open to the idea of a wide receiver. Again, it's not necessarily his call, but being open to that, because that is the team first mentality of if that's what's best for the team. And I think it will benefit him in the long run of, at some point the defense is going to have to pick someone to cover. And if they're going to focus on a wide receiver, well, Trey McBride's going to find a way to get open, because in more times than not, he was Kyler's top targeted receiver. So we know that he's reliable.
Just two seasons in the league and already media savvy. Yeah. Praising his general manager. I trust in Monty.
Trey's a smart man.
I love how Jonathan Gannon says Trey McBride has a really good improvement plan for himself. Like he's a sales manager coming out of a Q2 quarterly review of Trey McBride. I love it.
Fans, you want to see Trey McBride this season? Learn more about the Arizona Cardinals season tickets, premium seating, group tickets, and the all-new luxury field seating experiences today. 2024 home opponents include the Bears, Chargers, Patriots, Jets, Lions, Commanders, and of course the NFC West. For all Cardinals ticket information, visit azcardinals.com/tickets, azcardinals.com/tickets. When we come back here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, cornerback How much of a need is that when we talk about the draft? That's next here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Shotgun snap. Smith moves to his left, rolling that way. Pump fake, now throws. Far side picked off at the 1 yard line. It's intercepted by the rookie Williams out of Syracuse, his first game after missing the last 12 months due to an injury suffered at Syracuse in the middle of the season. He makes a huge play, picking off Geno Smith in the red zone.
Geno Smith, saca el pase, la bota. Interceptado, señores! Interceptado, el novato Garrett Williams les dice presente. Welcome to the NFL, muchacho. Garrett Williams interceptado.
Game number one for Garrett Williams. The interception in Seattle. Dave Pasch on the broadcast. Luis Hernandez with the Spanish broadcast. And, of course, tip of the cap to Pasch mentioning where Garrett Williams went to college, because that always needs to be mentioned when you talk about Syracuse.
Does it?
Does. We'll see if there's any Missouri alums that get drafted a week from Thursday. Or Michigan State, as we cover all bases here on the Cardinals Red
Sea. Later in the draft.
Later in the draft. Garrett Williams was a, I wouldn't say pleasant surprise. You drafted him on day two for a reason, Rob. Yet you had to wait as he continued to rehab from that ACL injury. But when he was on the field, he stayed on the football field, playing a lot of slot, corner, probably where he's going to stay. We'll see if he ever moves to the outside permanently. But someone that came in as a rookie, given an opportunity, and a large part excelled in his role.
I think, look, a lot of the young guys played early and often because not just necessarily given an opportunity, but there was no other choice. Right? We talked about the rash of injuries, and some guys had to step up and play some significant down. So you look at Ketrell Clark and Starling Thomas and Garrett Williams. You know, so this is a young group of cornerbacks that, you know, there's a lot to be hopeful for and excited about going forward in the future. And then, you know, you bring in a guy like Sean Murphy Bunting that could bring a little stability, bring a little leadership and a veteran presence into the mix. Maybe get a couple guys in the draft. All of a sudden now, which was once a position of you know, perceived weakness, is now potential strength.
You can never have enough cornerbacks, especially in the NFL and how much the ball is thrown. And you do have, I would say, a hole as far as the other cornerback is concerned right now, whether that comes in the draft or post-draft in free agency. But at least you have two of your potential three starters to begin with Murphy Bunting and Williams.
Absolutely, and I think you also have to give credit for the way Williams performed in his rookie year when he came back, to a certain extent, to the veterans around him, and not just the cornerbacks, but in the safety room, out on the field where he was with Jalen Thompson and Buda Baker, and that makes a difference when you have veterans of that caliber around you and helping you. Rush and coverage go together, so it'll be interesting how the Cardinals addressed that need with the DBs in the draft of, okay, we saw a little bit in free agency. We saw a lot of free agency when it comes to the D-line. Something that hasn't really been addressed has been the pass rush. So is that something that is going to be addressed more so in the draft? Are the Cardinals going to take an approach of, we're really going to focus on the D-line and the cornerbacks and try and get things going there before we address pass rush? And maybe that's something that plays a bigger role in next offseason. But those are still areas that this defense needs to fill the holes on. And Sean Murphy Bunting does help, that veteran presence. He's won a Super Bowl. Getting in that room, it's still not enough. Despite the good things you saw from Garrett Williams, which, again, had a good rookie year from the games he played, you still need more.
It was a good start for Garrett Williams. His head coach, or I should say his position coach, Ryan Smith, the guest recently on the Big Red Rage, what Coach Smith saw out of the young cornerback.
Oh, Garrett is a pro's pro. And that was evident through the draft process last year. That was evident him showing up as a rookie. His mentality, his mindset, his determination, you know, he's going to be successful in whatever he does. I'm so excited for the future. He's put in so much work, you know, and then coming off the injury that he had in college, getting incorporated into the NFL game mid-season there, and then having a full off-season of being in good health is, you know, I think the sky's the limit for Garrett Williams.
A full offseason. We talk about it with Kyler Murray rehabbing an injury. Now here you've got Garrett Williams, Rob. Full offseason, just worrying about the X's and O's.
Yeah, just getting the reps, not worrying about any past injuries lingering. You know, it's such a benefit, especially for a guy that went through a rookie season. But, you know, it's a big year. Typically that sophomore season is when you really see a noticeable improvement from guys.
Now the question is, will there be any more additions to that room 1 week from Thursday, or does it come post-draft, or maybe a little bit of both? Cornerback, certainly a need for the Cardinals this offseason. Special thanks to everyone behind the scenes here on this edition of the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Our executive producer, Jim Omohundro. Our associate producer, Cody Fincher. Technical director, Matt Lazarus. For Danny Sarek, Rob Fredrickson, I'm Craig Riolu. We'll talk to you in 1 week's time. It's the Cardinals Red Sea Report on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
It is caught by McBride, and it's a touchdown. Buda Baker with the sack, stripped the ball. Murray's going to score, touchdown.
Oh, baby.
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown, Cardinals win.
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.